Welcome to the Fireside Giants podcast by Empire Sports Media.
Welcome to Fireside Giants. My name is Alex with my co-host here, Anthony Rivardo. Back at it with another New York Giants video for you guys. As always, everyday content, unstoppable force. We defy physics, what can I say? However, today we have a really interesting topic for you guys. A really interesting trade-back scenario that involves the New England Patriots, who are at the 15th overall pick. And this is really intriguing because it allows us to gain an additional high-round pick that we can utilize to fill another gap the Giants do have. As always, they do have a couple holes. In this offseason, we are really looking at the wide receiver position. We're looking at the offensive line and pass rusher. Those are the primary three positions that I believe, and I assume Anthony believes, and a lot of you guys think as well, need to be addressed. You know, outside linebacker was one that we really struggled with last year. If you saw the outside linebackers, we lost Lorenzo Carter, we lost Ocean Ximenes, we had Carter Coughlin and Jabal Sheard as our primary guys. That is unacceptable at this point. We have to move forward with some more talent there, create some competition, and this is an opportunity for us to do so. So before we dive into this theoretical mock draft and, you know, get your opinion on it, obviously in the comments section, Anthony, my friend, how are you doing today?
I'm doing real good. I actually really like this mock draft that you put together, Alex, because you went a very realistic route with the trade, right? You went with the draft trade chart. Now, if you didn't know, there's a trade chart, a value chart, that gives each draft pick an individual value. And NFL teams use this chart because when they're making trades mid-draft, they try to collect points and match it so that it's a fair trade. So Alex went ahead and did that, making this trade, making the point totals pretty much match on this trade, making it a fair trade. So I thought that was really interesting. Well done, Alex. And then the players that you selected in your mock draft were also really intriguing to me. Now, number one, you know, first and foremost, Rashad Bateman. I think that everybody knows now that I am in full bloom love with Rashad Bateman as a prospect. I think that he is such a good wide receiver prospect. He's now my third receiver in the class. I put him ahead of Devontae Smith. I really can't get enough of his tape. I see so many nice traits. I see an instant starter in the NFL, an instant impact player. So I'm excited to talk about him as we have been talking about him. Excited to continue the dialogue on Rashad Bateman and then these other two guys that I'm also a pretty big fan of that you got in the second and third round. This was a really good mock draft, so I'm ready to dive into it and discuss this one.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, just to start off, I want to run you guys through, you know, what I was thinking in this mock draft and why I put it together. I'm thinking, you know, the Giants have an opportunity to trade back and actually, you know, add some resources, add some draft capital, because the Giants never trade back. Dave Gettleman's never done it before. There were reports they were considering it in this past draft, but of course Xavier McKinney fell to them and they couldn't pass him up. But this is a great opportunity to do so because the wide receiver class is deep, the offensive line class is deep, there's a lot of great defenders, and I think this is a great opportunity for them to say, let's add value. We can plug a few more holes with these picks because, you know, Gettleman did give away a third round and a fifth round pick last year or 2 years ago for Leonard Williams, so we gave away draft capital. We want to add it because with the coaching staff we have in place, I think they can get it done. I think they can maximize a lot of these players, especially defensively, and hopefully on the offensive line. I know Shane Lemieux had a couple of good games there that, you know, brewed some optimism moving forward. But I think we need to add guys to the scheme. You know, that's the big thing for me at this point. We need to add players who fit our scheme because, you know, when we transitioned from Pat Shurmur to Joe Judge and Patrick Graham and Jason Garrett, it also hurt our players that we currently had on the roster because maybe they didn't fit the scheme that we actually had already. You know, maybe they didn't really fit what they were trying to do. And we saw that with Will Hernandez. You know, he's a player who's more of a power run blocker. And they were utilizing more athletic guards. You know, they wanted Shane Lemieux because he was quicker, more nimble. And Will Hernandez kind of got left in the dust because of it. It really hurt his ability to fit the scheme. I think that's why we're going to see more Shane Lemieux than Will Hernandez moving forward. But that is why I think adding more draft capital is essential because the Giants aren't going to have a lot of money this year. A lot of teams aren't, you know, with the COVID cap. So I think this is a good chance for them to add draft capital and really allocate picks to fit their specific positional needs and fit their scheme. So that's where I'm going with this and why I put this together. But of course, let's dive into it. The New York Giants have the 11th overall pick. And in this scenario, they trade the 11th overall pick and the 76th overall pick, so their first and third round selections, for New England's 15th overall pick and their second round pick, so the 15th and the 47th. So they move back four spots. They allow New England to go get a quarterback unless they're really, really keen on sticking with Jarrett Stidham. And if they do that, they're pretty much writing their own death sentence. You know, he's not a great quarterback. I don't think he'll ever be someone that can lead them to consistent victories. We saw him last year in short sample sizes, and he was a disaster. He was awful. And if I know Bill Belichick, if anybody knows Bill Belichick, if quarterbacks don't show that mental processing, he moves on for them pretty quickly. And I actually think Mac Jones might be a good player for them. He's able to hit those throws. He's a smart quarterback. He's really competitive. And I actually think he might fit their mold pretty well. It's actually interesting. I actually had them potentially looking at Trey Lance or Justin Fields if he dropped. But I think Mac Jones might be a good selection for them. And you can never take your quarterback too early, as we saw with the Giants and Daniel Jones. They did not want to wait till 17 to make that selection. They wanted to make him ASAP Rocky. So, you know, this is an opportunity for them to utilize the 15th overall pick to move up to 11 and not give up a ton of capital. They didn't want to give up future first round picks because the 2022 NFL draft really is valuable. There's a lot of great players, and you always want to get draft picks for the future, especially if you're rebuilding. Now, the New England Patriots know how to rebuild. They know how to do things. They know how to find players to fit their scheme and maximize guys. And they're not giving up too much capital now. They give up no capital for next year, and they get their quarterback that they want. So you move up four spots. They only give up their second-round pick. They get our third-round pick in return. I'm looking at this as the draft value. We basically marginally beat them in draft value in terms of the value that each pick has by about 20 points, which is very, very minimal. So it's a very fair trade. This is a trade that you could look at and say, okay, this makes a lot of sense. And you could even argue, you could make the argument that we could just give up, you know, our 11th pick and we get a 15th and their second round pick, because when you want your quarterback, teams are always willing to give up more. I personally don't think Bill Belichick's gonna bite on that. So I think this is a pretty fair deal, and I think the Giants are able to land one of the best receivers in the draft class, and they're able to add another second round pick where they can find an immediate impact player on defense, which is where we're gonna go with this. So Giants get the 15th and 47th overall pick. Anthony, before we dive into these players, you know, what do you think about this for New England? Do you think that this is a good opportunity for them to find a quarterback? And which quarterback do you think they might be looking at in this scenario?
Yeah, I think this is interesting. I think the price tag is kind of steep, but if they're going for a quarterback, it makes sense, right? And you know what? I'd even say if Kyle Pitts is on the board, while it would be really tough for the Giants to pass up on Kyle Pitts, I think that New England would probably be willing to give this up for Kyle Pitts as well. You know, Kyle Pitts, they really need a tight end, and they need offensive weapons in general, New England, that is. And Kyle Pitts is really, he would be perfect for New England. I know that they're praying that he falls to 15, but it's not going to happen. The furthest he's going to fall is probably to 11 overall, right? So I could totally see them trading up for Kyle Pitts. I could totally see them trading up for a quarterback. I don't know necessarily which quarterback that would be. I think that Mac Jones makes sense, but I don't know if they're going to be willing to trade up for him. It depends, right? How will his draft stock change between now and the end of April? That's what's interesting. You know, with Daniel Jones, right? He was originally a second round projection, then he was a late first, ended up going sixth overall, right? Teams wanted to trade up for him. Teams were trying to get Daniel Jones. Could be similar thing with Mac Jones. You know, we could see teams start to get really high on Mac Jones as this draft process goes on, and maybe the Patriots will feel convicted enough to go trade up for him, right? Let's say that that's what happens. Now, in terms of the third round pick that the Giants give up in this trade, I think that's necessary. I don't think that Belichick's going to overpay to move up for Mac Jones, especially when it's only five different pick difference. And, you know, so the first and the second is steep as it is, but I think it only works because the Giants throw in a third in this mock draft scenario, in this mock trade, right? So I like the trade a lot. I think that it's kind of a win for both parties. If New England feels convicted that they can get their franchise quarterback at 11, then, you know, You do that. If you think you're getting your franchise guy, you go ahead and you make sure that you secure him before anyone else does. So if that's what they feel like they're getting at a number 11, then I think that the trade makes sense. And then with the Giants, I think this trade makes a lot of sense for them as well, because, you know, trying to get more draft capital instead of less, you know, technically they're going to have the same number of picks, but at least this new pick is going to be higher than the pick that they're giving up, right? And then even if you wanted to go take this one step further, that new second round pick, they could trade down from there, recoup another third round pick, maybe an additional fifth round pick or something, sixth round pick, and get even more draft capital, giving themselves more flexibility by having more picks within the top 100. I think that's huge for the Giants and for most teams as they're rebuilding. You know, you think back to the Indianapolis Colts in 2018, they traded down, got a lot of picks inside the top 50, hit on pretty much every single one of those picks, and now they're every year they're in the playoffs, right? So that's really valuable. If you hit on all of those top 50 to top 100 picks, that could be huge for rebuilding a team. And the Giants, unfortunately, are still trying to rebuild this team. We're not there yet, but we're close, right? We're getting there. We're almost there. And a trade like this could really propel us and help us get there and maybe make us that playoff team, getting that additional second round pick, an additional impact player, a guy that you think can start as soon as he gets onto your team. I think that would be huge.
Exactly. You know, that's not what you're going to get in the third round, ultimately, unless you get lucky. You know, like Darnay Holmes is a guy that ended up starting and having a decent impact when he was on the field. But for the most part, you're not going to find immediate starters in the third, fourth, fifth rounds unless a guy falls and he is a good scheme fit and he's a guy that can make an impact right away. It doesn't happen all the time. Think about Matt Parrott. You know, he wasn't a guy that they expected to start. They wanted him to develop. But a second rounder, you can expect them to make an impact right away, even start and fill a gap. Those second round picks are amazing for filling needs. You know, sometimes you don't always go best player available. The Giants found Xavier McKinney because they didn't think Logan Ryan was going to be on the team. He was going to play the Logan Ryan role. So I think he was going to be the immediate starter. Everybody assumed that. I think the coaching staff knew that going into it. And if you add another second round pick, this is where it really gets us a little bit more. You know, gives us the ability to be creative and really fill a need that we need right now. But before we dive into those second round players, you know, this is an awesome opportunity for us to get a great value pick with Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota, a Golden Gopher. You know, I love that name. So Rashad Bateman, you know, we've been talking about him recently. His draft stock is climbing. He ran a 4.39 40-yard dash. You know, I don't put too much value into that, but it was faster than people anticipated. We know DeAndre Hopkins only ran a 4.57. These guys, you know, when you have elite route running receivers, it translates. Anthony, we've been talking about this for a couple weeks now. Those type of traits translate. Speed, athleticism doesn't always translate into production. And Bateman is super underrated. He was a Big Ten receiver with Minnesota. I think that if he was in the SEC, he'd be a top 10 player right now. He'd be a top 3 receiver. As Anthony said, you know, he has him a little bit higher now than Devonta Smith on his chart. And I think the primary reason is he's 6'2" and he has some weight to him. You know, he can go up in high point catches. He's a bigger, he can out-muscle cornerbacks. He has great route running, just like Devonta Smith. And he's a little bit faster than people anticipated. So that really only benefits him. And, you know, 2 years ago in 2019, the guy put up almost, you know, he put up over 1,200 yards, 11 touchdowns, and he averaged over 20 yards per reception, indicating he can be a vertical threat too. So he actually has deceiving speed. With that vertical threat, he can also run short intermediate routes. He has a great slant route. I know, Anthony, right? You showed me a slant route from him that looked just like OBJ from Baltimore. You know, how does that excite you, seeing those type of routes and seeing how we can break open a play with a slant? Is that a reason why you're looking at Bateman saying he's a top three receiver on my board right now?
There's a few reasons I'm saying he's a top three receiver on my board. Okay, you mentioned, first of all, he's like 6'2", he's about 210 pounds rather than 6'1", 175 pounds compared to Devontae Smith, right? His frame is just way better built. He's filled out, he's strong, he's muscular, and he's got a lot of nice size to him. Looks like a Keenan Allen type player. Has, you know, maybe isn't the tallest, the most physically imposing, but has more than enough to really go out there and out-muscle guys, right? He's done that at times. There was one play that I saw him run, I believe against Purdue. He lined up in the slot, seam route, ball goes up there. He literally just ripped it out of the safety's hands, and it was like, wow, okay. But the number one thing that I love about Rashad Bateman, his best trait is his route running. He runs a full route tree, and he runs all of his routes to near perfection. I see him run amazing slant routes. His post corner is disgusting. He absolutely turns cornerbacks around. I saw this one play. It was actually hilarious. I laughed out loud watching it. He didn't get the ball. The target was, it was a hot read to the right side, but he's running isolated on the left side with his cornerback. And he just, his release off the line of scrimmage, he goes in and then out. The cornerback literally like jumped backwards, fell, and had to put his hand in the ground. I've never seen a corner get demolished that badly off the line of scrimmage. His release package is insane. There's one slight problem, flaw, because I like to be impartial, that I see with his release, though. He does have a false step, which sometimes makes him a little bit slower out of his release. And I think that's where a lot of people give him flack for, maybe, you know, maybe needs to refine that part of his technique, and maybe that's what slows him down on the long balls, right? That false step is the one thing that he needs to fix. But I think, even talking about his full route tree, right? You know, I've seen him run some really nice curls. I've seen him run a lot of solid vertical routes and goes. But one thing that I really like about him is his dig routes, his deep in routes, you know, his post routes, everything over the middle. He just kills the middle of the field, and he's fearless going over the middle of the field. Quarterback wings it into the middle of the field. There's a single high safety. Doesn't matter. He's going to go in there, make the catch, absorb the hit, and get down if he needs to. He's really a fearless player. He's got a really nice frame, a pretty big catch radius, but it's those routes and that release package that really just screams Keenan Allen and screams NFL player to me. And I think that, you know, he didn't play in the SEC. He didn't go against the greatest competition. You know, he beat up on some bad teams. You know, all of those are fair criticisms, I guess. But really, when you watch the film and you watch his technicality, you watch his technique, how he runs his routes, how he stems them together, how he uses really advanced head fakes, and he has a really good feel of hand fighting, he creates separation that way. He's really advanced in all of those route running traits, which gives him a very high floor and an even higher ceiling than most wide receiver prospects. I think that he's really exciting to watch. You mentioned that slant route that he took to the house. It looked exactly like Odell Beckham Jr. Made me think maybe that 4.39 40 time isn't a complete lie. Like, that play was just that impressive to me. He was flying on it. It was a great release off the line of scrimmage. It really looked exactly like that play against Baltimore that Odell Beckham Jr. made. So he's got the ability to do all that. He plays from the outside. He is that X receiver. He moves inside like Keenan Allen. You can move him around. He goes, he gets it done from wherever. He didn't face the most press coverage, but when he did, his release off the line of scrimmage is what got him open and gave him a really nice start to each play. There were times where players, cornerbacks, stuck with him in man coverage, going pretty much on outbreaking routes, I feel like. That's when it was usually a problem. But everything over the middle, those in-breaking routes, and then anything where he's faking towards the middle, like a post corner, I mean, really, he's got a complete game. He's got a full package. He can do it all, and he's really exciting to watch. And I think that he's a guy who's really going to start flying up draft boards. I've already seen him fly up draft boards, even on the Draft Network. I think he used to be ranked in the late 20s. Now he's like two spots behind Devontae Smith, so I don't think me having him ahead of Devontae Smith is that crazy in the first place. So Rashad Bateman, man, I fall into full bloom love with this prospect. I see a lot to like with him, and I think that all of you, if you go grind the tape, go watch some film, or even just some highlights, I think you will all fall in love with him as well and think that he would be a home run selection for the Giants at 15. I think he's a perfect scheme fit for what the Giants want to do, and I think that he would be an instant impact starter, number one wide receiver for Daniel Jones to throw to if the Giants were to take him, even at 11, but preferably at 15 in this trade down scenario.
Yep. I mean, everything Anthony said times 100. That is what this player is capable of doing for us. A lot of people keep saying, we don't just need a receiver, we need a wide receiver one. You know, free agency is not going to provide that for us. I am telling you right now, we mentioned this on the last podcast, teams do not let wide receiver ones go for free, okay? That does not happen. You will not see Tyreek Hill hit the market in his prime. You will not see DeAndre Hopkins hit the market. You will not see Devontae Adams hit the market. You know, you won't see these guys at the market ever. It doesn't make sense.
Even Devontae Parker, we didn't see him hit the market. He's not a premier number one receiver.
Exactly.
He was Miami's number one receiver, and they locked him up because they couldn't afford to let him go. So even that was like a Freudian slip right there. It was a great point.
Exactly. Now, you know, if you're going to let a guy go like that, you tag them and trade them. You know, you do not let them hit free agency. Kenny Golladay's not hitting free agency, guys. Allen Robinson sure as hell not hitting free agency. If they did, it would be a miracle. And now the only way that that happens is because of the COVID cap, a very unique situation where they literally have no choice. But they would rather tag and trade and still get the money off the books. You know, that's another way of doing it. So that's what I anticipate for them moving forward. But with that being said, Rashad Bateman has wide receiver one potential. If you watch his yards after catch, not only does he have good, reliable hands, but he makes players miss. He makes defenders miss in open space. He picks up yards after the catch. And his route running is really good. He really baits corners into making mistakes. And he stacks exceptionally well. He squeezes the sideline. He stacks. He has the speed to do it. And, you know, he makes one-handed catches all the time. You know, that's another thing. Like, obviously, it's not a necessity for a wide receiver to be able to do that. But it's just the added flair that he has. You know, it's just the added flair that he has as a wide receiver. They're like, okay, you know, I don't want you to do that. We don't need you to do that. But the fact that you can do it, it shows that you're a premium asset. You know, you can make the spectacular catches. If you've ever played Madden and you look at the spectacular catch rating, he has that ability. He has that good ability to make catches like that. So an intriguing prospect that I think the Giants will be lucky to grab at 15.
Yeah, and I'll say one last thing for Rashad Bateman, right? When we talk about separation, a lot of the times separation can be very scheme-based. You know, sometimes there's players who get wide open based on the scheme, the way that the route concepts get them open. With Rashad Bateman, I felt like he was wide open very often, but it definitely wasn't scheme-based. He was like one-on-one with a cornerback, and he just kills him on the route and just creates like 6 yards of separation. Now, there were times, right, like I saw him run a double move, and he kind of didn't have the elite speed to actually just burn this guy, but he still got enough separation to where it's an easy catch, right? So he can go vertical. He really has a full route tree, and he has that well-built frame. I think that, you know, when you look at Daniel Jones and the kind of receiver that he thrives with, I feel like Rashad Bateman and him would be a perfect match. So I'm praying, you know, almost that Rashad Bateman is the pick even at 11. But, you know, I would love this trade down scenario to 15. But I think that he really would be the perfect fit in this Giants offense combining with Daniel Jones.
Right. You know, Anthony, I think you mentioned Bateman sometimes as a false step in his routes, you know, that he does. But, you know, I've looked into it and it looks like his stance is just so wide that it takes he requires that little step to gather himself and begin his route. I think
easily fixable.
Yeah. Those are the things, like, those are the things you don't worry about. You know what I mean? Like, you can worry about red flags off the field. You can worry about a lack of fundamentals, a lack of catching the football, consistent drops. But that is something that you can iron out with good coaching. That's all that takes.
If he had a tough time releasing off the line of scrimmage and getting going, then you could look at the false step as a potential reason why. But the fact that his releases are arguably the strongest portion of his game, the false step is almost irrelevant. You know, like, it's something, yeah, maybe we can work that out, something that a coach can try to fix. But does he need to? No, because his releases are so good, and it's clearly not holding him back.
Right. Yeah, see, I completely agree
minor,
with that.
Minor flaw. Nitpicky exactly. Flaw.
It's very minor. It's very, very minor, and I don't think the Giants are going to look at that and say, this is a reason that he's dropping, this is a reason we shouldn't take him. You know, disregard that. That's something you can coach out of him with ease. But a player that, you know, can really be a wide receiver one, I think he's vastly underrated. If he was in the SEC, he's a player that would be a top 10 selection. Top 4, top 3 wide receiver. Maybe even top 2. You know, that's the type of potential this kid holds. And he did it all with terrible quarterback play. We're talking about Minnesota. We're not talking about Ohio State. We're not talking about those offenses that can rack up 50 points per game on average. You know, he's playing with Minnesota with a quarterback nobody knows, will not be drafted, and, you know, probably will never even have NFL consideration. That is the type of quarterback play he's playing with. It's not Justin Fields. It's not Trevor Lawrence. If he was on Clemson, the guy would be over 2,000 yards with 20 touchdowns, and people would be considering him a number one wide receiver immediately out of the gate. So you're getting an insane value at 15 if you were able to trade back and acquire a player of his caliber. So that's just the first part of this mock draft where, you know, this trade back with New England occurs. But the second part of it is the Giants end up taking, you know, interior guard Wyatt Davis. We've talked about him a couple times too. Wyatt Davis is a really good opportunity for the Giants at 43 because it allows you to get a little creative with Kevin Zeitler. Now, the reason I like this is because if you take Wyatt Davis, who they are projecting as a starting right guard right out of the gate, they're saying he can be a right guard for you day one, you're good to go. That's what they're saying he can be. So your second round pick, you're getting a starting right guard immediately. Very, very nice. He's from Ohio State. He plays against quality competition. So we know what we're getting in him already. Now, what I like about this is that you can take Wyatt Davis and say, okay, let's have him compete at left guard for year one. The Giants love to flip-flop, you know, tackles and guys and this rotate players because it makes them even more valuable. Because if you have a guy that has a year of experience at left guard and then goes to right guard in the second year, it only increases his value. You know, only makes his value even more if they strike gold on a fifth-round pick right guard out of nowhere, and they're like, oh crap, you know, this guy's gonna be awesome for us. They can move Wyatt Davis back to left guard and they're totally fine. So what I like about this scenario is that they can take Wyatt Davis, put him at left guard, let him compete with Shane Lemieux and Will Hernandez. I like that. And whoever loses that battle, they can either trade or they can cut for cap savings. Or they just utilize his depth and just utilize those guys as rotating guards in case injuries or inconsistencies occur. But my favorite part about this is with Kevin Zeitler, because we all know that Kevin Zeitler has a $12.5 million cap hit for next season. That is a major problem. You know, that is a massive cap hit the Giants cannot afford to keep. What I suggest is they take Kevin Zeitler's contract, they extend it a year or two, and they push that cap down the line. you know, they make those guarantees a little bit higher and they lower the dead cap because Kevin Zeidler hasn't missed much time at all over the course of his career, especially with the Giants. So he's pretty consistent. He's our best offensive lineman. We don't really have the affordability to cut him right now. So I think the best case scenario is you extend him and then you put Wyatt Davis at left guard, let him compete. And then next year, when Kevin Zeidler either has a great year or maybe he is leveling off a little bit, you know, age is catching up to him, you can do this. You can say, all right, let's take Kevin Zeidler, let's trade him, get his money off the books, and then we move Wyatt Davis back to right guard. So not only are you gathering draft capital from Kevin Zeidler and lowering his cap hit for this year, but you're also, you know, allowing Wyatt Davis to go back to his normal position. Best case scenario, Kevin Zeidler does well, Wyatt Davis takes over left guard, has a great season, and now you have your two starting above average guards that you can now sit there and say, okay, our interior offensive line is set, we have Andrew Thomas, a really young 21-year-old left tackle, and now right tackle is the only position we really need to fix, and we can go out in free agency and find that person next year because we've already fixed our interior offensive line with extremely affordable players. We've lowered Kevin Zeidler's cap hit, we have rookies at left guard and left tackle, and we have Nick Gates at center, who is very, very minimal cap it to begin with. So basically no money invested in the offensive line. That's how I feel the Giants would really be able to maximize a player like Wyatt Davis, and why I think he's a phenomenal selection. But Anthony, what do you think about Davis? You know, tell us a little bit about what kind of player he is and why you think he would fit with the Giants in the first place.
Yeah, I really like Wyatt Davis. One of the reasons why is because I think he's a perfect scheme fit. You know, when you talk about agility and the ability to move and, you know, be an agile pass blocking offensive guard, he's an excellent pass blocker. Here's one thing that I'll say though with Wyatt Davis. What scares me about drafting him from the Giants' perspective: 3 years at Ohio State, he only ever played snaps at right guard. Every other position on the field, you know, left guard, center, left tackle, right tackle, he never played a single snap at any of those positions. He only played right guard. So that does worry me, right? When we talk about, you know, we have Kevin Zeidler at right guard and we have a huge question mark at left guard. Would we be able to flip him over and have him learn this new position? I don't know, and that scares me. Would that make it difficult for him to transition back to right guard if he started to learn left guard? So that kind of, like, scares me and puts me off from Wyatt Davis in a way, but at the same time, it's like, if he's there in the second round, the value is just way too good because this is a guy who will be a quality starter in the NFL. And it's actually interesting enough, you know, if you have the Pro Football Focus draft guide for 2021, the NFL player comparison for Wyatt Davis is actually Kevin Zeidler. So when you talk about him being a perfect scheme fit, I mean, he's literally going to be... he's projected to be a guy similar to Kevin Zeidler, and Kevin Zeidler is a perfect scheme fit for what the Giants have been trying to do for the past few years, right? He's been by far our best offensive lineman. So when I watch Wyatt Davis, I see a mean, aggressive offensive lineman, which I love in his game. He goes out there, he hunts heads, he makes pancakes like he works at IHOP. I said that in a couple episodes ago, right? Like, he's out there just pancaking dudes, but he's also nimble. He's quick. He's got really good traits in pass protection. He really is kind of very well-rounded. He does both facets of the game very well, and I think that he's a really impressive offensive lineman. If he's there in the second round for the Giants, I think they absolutely need to take him. If they're worried about moving him over to left guard, maybe ask Kevin Zeidler to try to make the switch. I don't know. He's a veteran. Maybe he can do it better than Wyatt Davis can.
I thought about that too.
His growth. Yeah, it's like that too. It's kind of weird, right? Because Kevin Zeidler has played his entire career at right guard, so you don't necessarily want to move him at this stage in his career. But if you're talking about who can handle the switch better, you're probably talking about the veteran handling the switch better than the rookie, right? So I think that's an interesting scenario that could lay out. Another interesting scenario: you could draft Wyatt Davis, trade Kevin Zeidler, clear up a ton of cap space, get an additional pick in maybe the third round, or maybe even another second round pick, depending on how high teams are valuing Kevin Zeidler these days. I feel like he's probably third round pick at the most, considering he's in the final year of his deal. But I definitely think that's a possibility. You get Wyatt Davis.
That's a great one.
He goes, yeah, it's a great scenario to lay out. You know, Wyatt Davis goes in there, starts at right guard, maybe even is close to as good as Kevin Zeidler was. We know he's a scheme fit. He's compared to Kevin Zeidler. And he also, like, the difference between him and Kevin Zeidler, though, like, Kevin Zeidler is a phenomenal pass protector, but he's not necessarily the best in the running game, and he's not the most aggressive, violent, downhill blocker. But Wyatt Davis is, and we know that the Giants love to run that inside zone, so I feel like Wyatt Davis potentially is the perfect scheme fit for the Giants here in terms of pass protecting like Kevin Zeidler, but getting downhill and being a mauling hog molly that loves to throw pancakes out there. I think Wyatt Davis, man, if he's there in the second round, the Giants have to take him. There's no way that they can leave him on the board. It's just whether or not he will actually fall to the second round is the question. But we had that question a few times. Will Hernandez, people thought he was going to go in the first round. He fell into the second round. There's been a few guards that have fallen in recent years because the interior offensive line sometimes gets a little bit overlooked for the exterior offensive line. People love to talk about those offensive tackles. But even if Wyatt Davis isn't there, there are actually some really good offensive tackles to consider. Samuel Cosmi, Jackson Carman, those guys should be there in the second round. So regardless, the Giants should be able to shore up their offensive line in the second round, but Wyatt Davis would be the home run selection. I absolutely love his fit in this Giants scheme. So nice pick, Alex, in this mock draft. And man, I really hope this one comes to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, you're the one that turned me on to Wyatt Davis in the first place. So, you know, he's a player. If you like mauling guards, he's a perfect fit for you. And we know Dave Gettleman falls in love with mauling offensive linemen. Hog mollies. He loves his hog mollies. This is a hog molly. This is the epitome of a hog molly. But he's a little bit different because he's like Will Hernandez, but with the ability to adapt to a different scheme. You know what I mean? Like, Will Hernandez has always been a power blocker. He's not very athletic in the way he does play. And his upside was always limited by his power. And, you know, I think that Wyatt Davis has a higher ceiling than him and a little bit of a higher floor. So getting him around that same selection as Will Hernandez in the first place is a benefit. I think that Wyatt Davis would be phenomenal. And if you extend Kevin Zeitler, you can move one of them to left guard for the season, see how it works out. And worst case scenario, they can always trade Kevin Zeitler mid-year, you know, before the trade deadline. That's always on the table for a team that's looking for a starting guard immediately. They could always trade somebody. They could always make that deal. And that's a potential for the Giants to, you know, gather some draft capital for next season. They can always plug Wyatt Davis in at right guard. Now they have an extremely young team, a very young team. So I like this scenario personally. This is a good opportunity for the Giants to solve a big hole and one that's going to be a problem in the near future when Kevin Zeitler's deal officially does run out. But let's move on to the last pick in this mock scenario, and his name is Joseph Asai from Texas. We talked about him in the last video, two pass rushers the Giants could target in the second round. We targeted Jason Owe and Joseph Asai. I really like Asai, and I like him because his story is badass, man. He won a lottery. His family won a lottery coming from Lagos, Nigeria, to come to the United States. He was bullied in school. He overcame a lot of hardships in his life. He's like 21 years old after doing the math. I could not find his age for the life of me, but we found his age. Did a little math, figured it out. About 21, 22 years old, so he was right on par with everybody else. He's not like that basketball player that was like 27 when he was telling everybody he was like 19. So it's not that scenario again. No Benjamin Button crap going on here. He's a phenomenal player, and I think his upside is really, really high because he is a little bit smaller than Jason Owe, who scouts and analysts are saying could be a 10-plus sack producer at the next level, but I think he'll be gone before the 47th overall pick, the one that we're getting from New England. I think that in this scenario, you know, Joseph Asai has the tools. He's a very athletic guy, really powerful hands, and he's clutch as hell, guys. This guy makes plays when it matters. When it's time to play, when it's time to make a turnover, when it's time to get to the quarterback, he gets it done and he creates those plays. You know, 3 forced fumbles last year. Like, he gets things done when it matters most, and that's what really excites me about him. And I love his story. I love how, you know, he has that high JPP-like motor where he's always attacking. He's always going 100%. It's phenomenal. You know, that's really what I love from him. I love his motor. I love his tool set. I love how he's able to drop back in coverage if he's asked to as an outside linebacker. I love how you can put him in the dirt as a 5-tech if you're playing an even front. I like how, you know, he has the capabilities to be a high upside pass rusher with his athleticism. He's actually fast. The only problem with him is that he's a little underdeveloped as a run blocker. You know, he does get a little ahead of himself. He does like to overcommit sometimes. But those are coachable things, you know. Those are just things that you can coach out of a player. He's always trying to get after the guy with the ball. He overcommits sometimes, gets a little overzealous. But I do think he's a player the Giants could look at and say he's multiple. He can put his hand in the dirt. He can drop back into coverage. He can play as a stand-up outside linebacker. Those are very unique traits that Patrick Graham will love to use at the next level. And I think his upside is really, really something that you could work with here. So I'm pretty excited about this specific scenario and this specific pick with 47th overall pick. So you address wide receiver, you address offensive line, and you address pass rusher. Those are the three positions that we need. And you get all guys who have starting capabilities from day one. Say less, Anthony. What are you thinking?
Say less, man. I like it a lot. You know, Joseph Asai, I might not be as high on Joseph Asai as you are. I really like him. I love his story. And I'll say about him, I think that he has a really high motor. I love the way that he's just always on full go, going 100% at all times. I think that's really awesome. And I think that he actually has some pretty advanced hand fighting skills. I think he does have some solid pass rush moves in his repertoire. And I think that's really cool. Might not be the most physically gifted and athletic player, but he's definitely got enough technique to work with instantly and maybe, you know, try and get his flexibility and, you know, all that stuff up as he gets into the NFL. But I think that he's a really solid player that could make an impact immediately for the Giants. Now, second round, I might be a little bold here. I might go Aleem McNeil with this pick. Had to keep the streak alive. Had to mention him in this video. You know that. So shout out to Aleem McNeil. Can't wait to get him on here next week, hopefully. So that's going to be really exciting. But I like Joseph Asai. Not to take away from Joseph Asai, I think that he's a really solid prospect. You know, if he's there in the second round, I think somebody the Giants would give a lot of consideration to. You know, they have the need on the edge. I kind of gave you the spiel in the last video, Alex, where I was saying, you know, going with these mid-round edge prospects isn't necessarily my favorite strategy right now, but I do think the value is there. Value meets the need for the Giants. You know, if he's there in the second round and this is their second pick in the second round, I definitely think Joseph Asai deserves a lot of consideration. Love his motor. Love the intensity that he plays with, and have seen quite a few pass rushing moves from him, which was surprising. And I think that he'd be a good fit as a stand-up outside linebacker, edge rusher. But you mentioned it. He's got the multiple aspect to his game. He can definitely put his hand in the dirt, play in those even fronts, wide nine, play that five tech. You know, I think that he's really got the capability to do a lot of things on the Giants defense. So I would like Joseph Asai. I think that he's a solid player, and I think he would be a pretty solid scheme fit with Patrick Graham.
Absolutely. So there you got it. You got Rashad Bateman, you got Wyatt Davis, and you got Joseph Asai. I mean, if you guys have any other ideas, any other players you'd plug into those situations, please leave them in the comments below. We want to hear what you guys think about this trade scenario. If you think it's realistic, I personally do. I think New England's going to be looking for a quarterback. Free agency might be a little thin this year, so they could look to draft someone and, you know, develop them over the course of next season. This is a good opportunity for them to trade a guy like Stephon Gilmore. Maybe the Giants are like, hell, let's just get Stephon Gilmore and, you know, the 15th overall pick and maybe another draft pick. You know, a whole bunch of packaging things. I'm getting a little crazy now, but my mind is spinning. I'm getting excited. What can I say? But
that's the NFL always, draft, guys. Man. The NFL draft exactly. Is so exciting. I can't wait for it, man, because there's always a ton of surprises that happen. And you know what? I want to make this little joke right now because I'm wearing this Godfather t-shirt. I got Vito Corleone on my shirt. Let's just say in this one, the Patriots made us an offer we couldn't refuse.
Yeah. They couldn't. You make us an offer so we can't refuse, and we're going to make sure we take advantage of it. So I'm pretty excited about the NFL draft coming up. We have some really great interviews for you guys. Of course, Aleem McNeil, and we got a verbal commitment. If you made it this far in the video, verbal commitment from Blake Martinez to do a live stream on Fireside Giants with you guys. Tell us that we're not the best hosts for a podcast that you guys know. Come on.
Shout out Airborne Cheeseburger. You kind of made that happen. Airborne. You're you beast, dude. Shout out Airborne. Also, shout out Philip Santana. Helped me get Aleem McNeil on. Can't wait for both of those. We're grinding. I'm reaching out to other prospects. We're going to get a few more guys on. We're going to get some Giants players on as well. Stay tuned. It's going to be a great offseason. And even past the draft and all that, a great summer as well. We'll try and get as many players on as we can. And, of course, outside of that, we're just going to keep pumping out elite content for you guys. Thank you for all the support that you've been giving us as we've been grinding really hard. We've experienced a lot of growth, and you know, you guys are the best fans, man. We love you guys, and we're doing it all for you and because of our love for the Giants as well, right? And we know that you guys share the same love. So very excited. We have a lot of great stuff planned as this offseason really heats up. We've got about 2 weeks until free agency starts. That's really exciting. So stay tuned. A lot of great content coming your way.
Absolutely. So we've got the lineup, Aleem McNeil, Blake Martinez, and we got Carl Banks hopefully coming in March. Some really great stuff going on. We'll have some beat writers on. We'll have Pat Trainer talk about the cap space in a couple weeks. And Jordan Ronan, you know, he gave me his phone number. So we'll figure out a good time for him to come on and kind of we'll time it up with free agency because, you know, he'll have some good insider stuff for us. We'll make sure we take advantage of that information as well. But guys, thank you so much for tuning into Fireside Giants. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and turn on the notifications below if you're on YouTube, Apple, or Spotify. We got all the good stuff. We got all the good interviews coming along, and we're going to keep making it happen for you guys. All the positivity is really just building more and more and more momentum for us and getting some really great people on, and that's our goal, just to give you elite-level content. As always, guys, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you guys on the next video.
Yeah, so.